last time, we mentioned that there is two types of existence, one called Or de Chassadim, one called Or de Chochmah. We need to remember those words. In English, it's called Light of Mercy and Light of Wisdom. And the Light of Wisdom is the original light coming from the divine, is the essence of everything, is the most powerful thing. But it cannot come into existence without Or de Chassadim. So the Or de Chassadim, the Light of Mercy, is the one that revealed the light of wisdom. Meaning, we gave an example last week. We mentioned that there is a wire, electric wire, who carried electricity. But electricity cannot be seen. It's the Or de Chochmah. It's electricity. It's the Or de Chochmah. It's the light of wisdom. It's the essence. But you can see it. Once you have the wire, then the electricity can pass from one side to another. So we learn from that there is two type. It's not actually two type of light. They call it two type of light because the light is the same. The light never changes. But the way we experiencing it might come as two type of light. So there is Or de Chochmah and Or de Chassadim. Or in English, light of wisdom, light of mercy. Light of mercy, malbish, is like dressing, is the dress, is the clothing for the light of wisdom. The light of wisdom is the main part that coming from God, main part that coming from the essence of the Creator. The light of mercy is coming to basically manifest whatever is already exist, meaning for us in our daily life, even we're not supposed to bring this study into physicality, but still if you want, doesn't matter what example I will bring, it will not be good enough. But at least some examples so the brain can rest. So for example, when a person doing an act of sharing, an act of goodness, the act of goodness is not actually, the act of goodness is all the chassadim, is only chesed, is only kindness. So when you do kindness, that reveals something that is already there. It's called Or de Chochmah, light of wisdom. So when a person act with kindness, most of the time, they want reward for the kindness. But the kindness itself is what revealed the secret that you already have in your life. Does that make sense? Is it clear? Mm-hmm. It's very, very important to understand. So when you act nice to someone, usually you want to hear thank you. That's normal human being. That's a human nature. The Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari, is teaching us, when you act with kindness, is revealed the goodness that you already have in your life. So the reward is my capability of doing the act of kindness, okay? So that's the reward itself. So instead of waiting for something great to happen because I give charity, I help somebody, I get a hug, I say thank you later, you know, etc. I should understand that there is some wonderful things happening in my life. I can relate to it, I can connect to it. But once I do act of kindness, you know, it's called Gmilut Chasadim in Hebrew, or Mitzvot, the precept. All those things are only tools to reveal what I already have. All right? So, for example, there is, in this room, radio waves or whatever is going on in this room. So you need something, malbish, clothing, to reveal what already here. In life, it's have to have an act of kindness or mitzvot or precept or good thought to reveal what is already in your life. Make sense? Okay, so that's Or de Chassadim. Again, doesn't matter how good will be the example I bring, it's not even close to relate to what we're talking here about, because here we're talking before creation, before it was human, before it was God, before everything. So we're talking about before or before. But still, we need to use some example to relate to our life, okay? So that clear. Any question on Or de Chassadim or the Chochmah? Yes, we're good. All right. Now, we start talking last week about difference between light and vessel. Different between what Rav Ashlag or Rav Isaac Luria or Rabbi Chaim Vital call ma'atzil ve'ne'etzal, emanator versus emanated. Emanator relate to ma'atzil, emanated, ne'etzal. So emanator or ma'atzil is the force that give, ne'etzal is the force that been created or the force that been received. So Rav Ashlag write like that. That's the explanation of Rav Ashlag on Rabbi Chaim Vital, on Rabbi Isaac Luria. Mai ma'uto shel kli ruchani? What is actually a spiritual vessel? V'yu ki biyot ha'ne'etzal mekabel et shefach hayuto min ha'ma'atzil. all the life, all the livelihood, all the energy that the neetzal, the vessel, the emanated, received from the emanator, אינה בהכרח שיית לו רצון והשתוקקות לקבל את שיבוא זה ממנו יתברך, ותדע אשר מידת הרצון וההשתוקקות, I will translate it in a second, אז הוא הכללות כל החומר שבנאצל. What make a vessel a vessel? And what make a vessel different than another vessel? What make a container different from another container? What make a human different from another human? What make a chair different than a table? What make a TV different than a picture on the wall? Only one thing, the amount of desire. That's the only difference between human beings. When you look at different people, is the amount of desire that they have. Okay, so it's called midat haratzon vehishtokekut azu, the amount of desire. Iklalut kol hachomer shebenetzal, the entire materialistic, or the entire physical aspect of the vessel, the entire physical aspect of the spiritual vessel, has to do with how much desire there is. Now, desire is not a concept of physicality. You know, how do we know that? Because when you go to a restaurant, you eat, you're full, and then they bring in the dessert menu, all of a sudden you're awakening a new desire that wasn't there. How can that be, right? Avashtak talk about it. Because the desire has nothing to do with just the size of the container. It has to do with something non-physical. באופן שכל מה שיש בנאצל זולת זה החומר, כבר אינו מיוחס לבחינת החומר שלו, אלא לבחינת השפע שלו יתקבל מן האציל. When you look at a cup of tea, whatever the cup of tea wants, right, is basically to contain within it the tea. But once, what is that container? That container is a certain size to contain that amount of tea. Make sense? I mean, that container is a container that have enough desire to contain the tea that is coming within. So the tea itself is not part of the container. The tea itself is all that nourishment that coming to the container. Talking spiritual level now. The divine, God, the light, whatever you want to name it, I don't care what you're going to name it, it's a force that you want to fulfill. When you talk about God, not in a religious way, in a spiritual, Kabbalistic way, it's a force that wants to fulfill. I even should drop the word want. It's a force that fulfills. That force that fulfill create a container that can contain that fulfillment. And most people believe that the container comes first and that's why there is fulfillment. Wrong. First comes the fulfillment and that's why the fulfillment creates a container. So when a person commits a crime, commits a sin, it only means that the person comes from the container point of view first. Everybody understand? The sin means that I want something, and then it has to come. Doing the right thing means I want something because I know it's there. I know it's already there. Is it confusing you? It's kind of confusing, yeah. Which means, let's talk in terms of money. It would be more clear because there's number involved. So let's say you want $5. You want that $5 because there is a force in the universe who want to give it to you. So you have to develop a desire for that $5 so it can be yours. Is that clear? So the difference between ma'atzil and ne'atzal, difference between emanator and emanated, is simply mean that there is two types of desire in a human being. A desire because you want to receive and now the divine need to give it to you. Or the divine want to share it with you, and that's why you want to receive it. The only existence of humanity is to know the difference between the two. Once you find out the difference between the two, you find out the secret of life. And that's why it's called the Tree of Life study. Because the Tree of Life was never touched by the snake. That's why it's called the Tree of Life. That's the purest study, and that's why it's written by many Kabbalists. When you study it, you get pure for 1 year. Every 1 hour equal 1 year of cleansing. So when you study 1 hour tonight, 1 year of cleanse of negativity. Why is that? Because that study taking you to place of the non-physical, because there is no use for that study. There's no use. What are you going to do with it? It's before creation. There's no practical use. How are you going to get motivated? It's only philosophical kind of study or connecting to the creator before even it was God, before it was Genesis, before Adam and Eve, before the snake. What are you going to do with this? But that's why it's the most pure study. So again, remember, I want the tea because the divine want to give it, or I want the tea and please divine give it to me. Now look what happened. When you become religious, and I'm not trying to put the religious people down, so if I hurt you in any way, please forgive me. I mean, I'm a rabbi, I'm an Orthodox rabbi, so I'm not trying to hurt anybody who's religious. But I'm trying to bring a point here. Sometimes people go to pray to God. And I just talked to somebody from, I don't know if you know what the Bible Belt is, you know what it is? So for me to go ahead and speak there will be difficult. You know, if I need to travel to Tennessee now, I don't know if I will do well there. So they believe, you know, the way they talk to me, the way I try to talk to them, the best I can, that you pray to God and God will give you what you need. There is a little bit manipulation here. Not you get manipulated by the priest or the rabbi. I'm talking about you kind of playing game here. You're telling God, hey, dear God, you know, I'm suffering. I don't have a soulmate. Dear God, I don't have money. Dear God. We are awakening something which is very dangerous. And that's the Talmud actually talk about it, not the Zohar, the Talmud. And the Talmud said it's very, very dangerous because you're awakening, you call it the sam amavet. The sam mean drug of death. So and the Talmud write, when a person becomes more religious and he does it in the wrong way, it's more dangerous if he didn't do it at all. How can that be? Because he draw energy that is not belong to him. He's actually creating an empty vessel to say, God, I don't have it, now I want it. Instead of saying, I know you want to give it to me, I'm open to receive it. Is that clear the difference? It's a difficult one for the brain sometimes. And that's why I don't try to put religious people down. It's not my purpose here. And if I do, I'm sorry for that. I'm trying to explain the difference between of how to connect to the Creator, how to pray. So when you ask, whatever you're Jewish or Christian or Buddhist, when you ask, you say, I'm opening my desire, Master of the world, to receive what you want already to give me. So the only reason I'm opening my desire is because there is abundance that want to come. It doesn't matter what it is, wisdom, money, beauty, it doesn't really matter. But if you're opening your desire because you don't have, that's going to create chaos. And that's what happened to many religious people. It's not necessarily what happened to all religious people. Most religious people suffer from that without knowing it. And it's not their fault because I grew up in the religious city. I grew up in an Orthodox school. So the education is based on you cry enough for God, you call enough God, you're going to get it. And if you look at the Bible, the translation tell you that. But when you get deep into it, you understand it's not exactly what it's saying. So that's why the Chomer, the vessel itself, without the fulfillment, just the desire, is what make the desire. The fulfillment itself is not the vessel. Give an example of the human body. And I'm sorry, I'm stuck at that point. I want to make sure we're all getting out of that ocean clean. The body itself is, I'm talking in relationship to the soul. The soul itself is the fulfillment when the body is the vessel. We can take it even deeper. The soul is divided to three parts, neshama, ruach, and nefesh, almost like a Russian doll. You know the Russian dolls that they open it, okay? So basically, the nefesh is the chitzoni, the nefesh is the external, then the ruach, then the neshama. There's three levels. There's actually five levels. I'm not going deep into it now. But let's say there is three levels. So even in your soul, you have levels. One is vessels, one is fulfillment. Everything you're looking at. Yeah. So when two people meet, there is a giver and a receiver. If the two people who meet, both giver or both receiver, it's going to be a fight. Remember that all the time. People only fight on giving and receiving. You have to remember, that's the rules of life with everything you do. Everything you do. If you fight with someone, you both want to give or you both want to receive. You need to define who's the giver, who's the receiver. Most couples who come to see me and they not get along, the one advice I give them, choose a day who's giving and choose a day who's receiving. Let's say Sunday I'm giving, you're receiving. Monday I'm receiving. And it's beautiful. And the Kurvi says, it's so simple, it's work. Of course it's work because that's the laws of the universe. You know, you need to act as a vessel or as the light, depends on the situation. It cannot be both giving. I want to give you advice, you want to give me advice. I want to give you advice. No. You're going to give me advice. Okay. So you say, ולא עוד, אלא שהחומר הזה הוא המודד את גדלותו ושיעור כמותו של כל נאצל. That חומר, that חומר mean physical materialistic thing, but it's also mean in spiritual way is desire. So the measurement of how much the נאצל, how much the emanated one received, ושל כל פרצוף, כל ספירה, שרית פשטות אור עליון מן המעציל, יוודאי בלי שיעור ומידה. How much light there is, how much abundance there is, according to the study of Rabbi Isaac Luria, endless. Endless. So you can never want truly what the light want to give you. Because the light want to give you endless. What is endless? Can the brain understand endless? Never. Never. Impossible. Impossible. Why? Because our brain, the mind, the way it is, it's in a skull. The skull itself is a frame. I'm taking a video now. The video now is a frame. Your iPhone is a frame. Everything has a frame. You will not be able to see things with no frame. The way you see life is through a frame. Once you frame it, you see it. You took the frame out, you can't see it. So we live in a frame. Shi'ur v'mida, it's called. Measurement. It's after a measurement. Human being cannot relate to things with no frame. We are live in a limited universe. That's how we live. Finite. Okay? That's why the language of the computer. Zero and one. The one is finite. The zero is infinite. That's the language of everything. Everything in this life is built from zero and one. Everything. If you study mechanic engineering, you'll understand that everything that moves, even in your car. Okay? Your car, the road is straight, the wheel is round. In your engine, if you ever open the engine, okay, to create a certain movement, you need to have one and zero. Without going to details, go and study it on Google. Very simple. Everything built from one and zero, not just the computer language. Everything. One, zero, one, zero, one, zero, one, zero. And you can go far with that. Because there is the light and the vessel. The vessel is the finite, and the infinite is the light. אלא רק הנאצל הוא העושה שיעור על שלף מכוח עצמו, מפיית היותו מקבל לא פחות ולא יותר מכפי שיעור חשקו ורצונו לקבל. Now here, we need to take responsibility. The vessel can only receive based on חשקו, based on his passion and his desire, and the measurement he can receive. It cannot receive more than that. So when you say, how come I don't have? Can never say that, can never complain. How come I don't want more than what I want? I told somebody, I told three people a little confession today. So they asked me, you know, since you are outside of the place where you work, the center, how are you doing, what's going on? I said, well, I discovered something about me that I didn't know I have. I didn't know I have. You know, I have to meet new people. I'm going to different places to pray, different things. It's a little bit embarrassing. It's not feeling great all the time. But I found out that, you know, I got to discover myself. I got to learn to be friendly with new people I don't even know. And I'm not that good at that. I thought I'm that good. But, you know, I'm sitting and I don't know how to say hello to somebody I don't know. I used to be like whatever you call it, the teacher, the rabbi. And people come to you, they say hello, easy, you know, safe net. Everybody come to me and life is easy. All of a sudden I got to go to places and I don't know how they look at me. I wear white on Shabbat usually. It's a weird thing. So, hi, you know, hi. You know, I don't know if you like you, I hate you. I don't know if they want to get rid of you. You know? But I believe the diet has been very merciful toward me, and I discover so many beautiful faces and so many beautiful souls and people, and I'm breaking that fear that I didn't know even I had. It's a fear of confrontation. It's a fear of talking. It's a fear of, you know, I used to do it many years ago, but as I getting my title of whatever you want to call it, teacher, rabbi, priest, whatever, you know, so you lose that. So my desire was a little bit diminished. So I couldn't build new friendship. And all of a sudden, I'm building new friendship with people I don't even know. Last night, I went to dinner with French friends of mine that I didn't see for 15 years. They happened to meet me in the shul, in the synagogue of in the area. So is this Eliyahu Jiyan? I said, yeah, that's me. I was embarrassed a little bit. I said, why are you running away? I said, I don't know what to tell you. True. I tell it to my wife. My wife picked up the phone and called them. I said, my husband, he looked not shy. A little shy with the first step. Let's go to dinner. So you really make dinner with them? I said, yes. Stop it. And we went. And we had a good time last night. We actually had a great time. And the idea is, if your life is not where you're supposed to be, is only because of the cheshko veretzono lekabel. You got to check your amount of desire. You must work on one thing, your amount of the desire. Then you change, are you desiring it because you don't have it, or are you desiring it because the Creator want to give it to you? There's two aspects here. If you don't have, let's say you don't have the money you want. I mean, everybody worry about money, right? Do you want to have that money? How much passion you have to have that money? That's the first aspect. Then you have to be careful not to turn it into idol. Do I want it because I don't have it? Or do I want it because I know the Creator want to give it to me? Got to play with those two things. In my case, I love people. I love friends. So if I find myself all of a sudden, oh, I'm alone. What's going on here? So now how much desire do I have for that? How much passion I have for that? What am I willing to do for that? That's the test. So for every human being, it's their thing. Okay? So let's say I have that craziness to study Chinese all of a sudden. You know? The test would be how much desire do I have for that? I feel I'm going to try to do good with that. The desire is the one thing that make you who you are. And that's why the main part of your soul is the desire. That's it. It's what you made from, your desire. But don't let the desire overtake you. That's also be careful. So there is two aspects here. Again, your desire, you got to recognize who you are. People ask you who you are is basically your desire. That's who you are. It's not what you accomplish. It's not whatever. But what is that you desire to do with your life? What is your drive? When I tell my kids, they study upstairs now. They do tests and tests. And I tell them, whatever you choose in life, you have to follow your desire. And the way you know what you desire is normally happiness. Your core energy is whatever makes you happy. But sometimes when the desire takes over, could be whatever makes you happy, could be something addictive. Looking for approval is addiction. Approval, what I found out with my years of work, is worse than cocaine. Looking for approval can be worse than cocaine. Worse than any drugs. I work in a rehab for 2 years. Telling approval is a killer. It doesn't let you be you. You live in fear. People approve of you. If your kids approve of you, you know? So, מפאתי אותו מקבל לא פחות ולא יותר מכפי שהוא חשקו ורצולו. You don't receive less or more based on your desire. שזוהי עמת עמידה הנוהגת ברוחניות. The way we measure spirituality is only based on the desire. משום שאין עניין הכפייה נועק שם. No כפייה, no coercion in spirituality. Nobody can force nobody to want more. Can you want more? Can somebody make you want more than you want? Impossible. That's why in the religiosity, many times people coffin, maybe many people force other people to want to do things. And you can't do that. You can't do that. And desire is something that the person has to develop. You have to develop it by your own, and it's not easy to develop. Not easy to educate people to develop it. It's an art to be able to take a person and step by step making them understand that they can have more. I know the exercise I used to do with my kids when they were young is never to kill their desire. Many parents want the kids to want less. They're afraid the kids want more. And it's the worst education, actually. The best education for kids, how come you don't want enough? Don't fight with somebody who wants less. And I have to say that my father, may he rest in peace, he was the first one to teach me that. On Rosh Hashanah, in my tradition, my parents come from Libya. We made a quince jam. You take quince, it's a hard fruit, and you make a jam with it, sugar and different things. And I used to like it. And I grew up only with sister, so my sister, each one of us get one piece, and I want three. So my mother, being justice-oriented Gemini, She said, no, everybody get the same. So I start screaming, crying, and this. So my mom called my father, who was, and my father said, was everything okay? She said, no, it's all okay. He's bothering me. So my father said, can I take care of him? And I was very nervous. So I didn't know what he's going to do, but what he did changed my life. So he brought the jar of the jam, and he put it on the table. It's a very big one. It's like that. He took a spoon, and he said, it's all yours. I said, really? He said, yes. And my mom looked at my father like doubting him, like, what are you doing? He said, you don't get off this chair until you finish the old jar. I was very happy the first minute. I'm eating one, I'm eating two, the third one, it's big. You're chewing it, and you're looking like this is going to go a long time. And I see my father, he tried to look tough, but he smiled. He looked to the side, like he want to punish me, but in another way, he want to educate me. So he reminded me, he told me a story, so I start crying. So he said, you got to, and it was a great lesson for me. It was a great lesson for me. But it was more the lesson for my father who knew how to teach it to me, that I shouldn't want less, get it all. Here, it's all yours. But you need to understand, can you hold it? Can your container hold it? It's very nice. Because most parents want to diminish the desire of their children or their husband or the wife. Don't do that. They want more. Why not? Always why not? We should want more. Always want more because the light want to give you more. If you say the divine has no limitation, when you make limitation, you're making fun of the divine. Sometimes people asking, oh, just $5,000, but the divine want to give you $5 million today. Oh, can I say $5 million? Is it not greedy? It's nothing to do with greedy. The divine want to give it to you. Depends where you come from. $5,000 can be greedy. $5 million can be not greedy. Depends where you come from. Is that clear? Because if you come from, just give me $5,000, or I know there is abundance of $50 billion, so why can I get $5 million? It depends. All your mindset, where you come from. It's all changing the mindset. So, for example, in Christianity, there is something called gluttony. You cannot have too much food, too much luxury, too much joy. And the idea of the guilt, that the touch in religion to having a lot is put on people like it's a sin. But it's only a sin if you're coming from a place I don't have it. It's not a sin if you're coming from a place that is so much more and I am here. It's called Lasot Nachat Ruach Nirtzo. I am here to receive that, to give a pleasure to the divine to give it to me. In Hebrew, again, it's called Lasot Nachat Ruach Nirtzo. And that's why the education for many, many years, thousands of years, taught the people is based on guilt and sad. Because instead of telling people you don't want enough. You want to know why you get punished? You don't want enough. I remember I was teaching that family, and they worked at that time $130 million. And I asked them, what's your problem? Why are you so upset? Why are you so miserable? So because our cousin has $580 million. So, okay, what will make you happy? It will make us happy if we will have $585 million. $5 million more. So, okay, why don't you ask for 820, I said. And you should see the look. They look at each other. We allowed to ask for 820? So if you ask 585, why not ask for 820? And then I sit with them. It took us 10 weeks to understand. I said, you think the divine missing your soulmate, missing the money you want, missing your health? All of that is there. What's missing is the desire to draw it down. You got to walk around the street, walk around wherever you go, and understand the solution is there, but the desire was not yet created to draw the solution down. My master, rest in peace, the Rav, used to say about every simple question, I don't know. And I used to ask, why are you saying I don't know? So because I get to I don't know, we call it the blind spot, or I don't know, you are awakening now a true fulfillment. Because in the I don't know, it's endless. So now it's coming down. So many times you got to come to a place and, I don't know, let me think about it, then it will come to you. Very important. And again, no kfiyah, no coercion, no force. There is no force on anybody to want. והכל תלוי ברצון. ולפיכך אנו מרחנים את הרצון לקבל לזה שהוא כלי קבלה של הנצח. Now, this is a discovery from Rav Ashlag. This is a discovery of Rav Ashlag. What Rav Ashlag make new? People who study Kabbalah in different way. You can study Tanya, you can study different books. But this line exactly is the first time ever a human being revealed what is a kli, what is a vessel. Because it's very difficult to define a vessel. And he defined a vessel, הרצון לקבל. והוא נבחן לבחינת החומר שלו שבחמתו יצא בכלל מעציל יקרה בשם נאצל. And the reason we call something נאצל, emanated, and not מעציל, emanator, because where is the emanated come from? The emanated come from the emanator. So they have the same DNA. So what makes the emanated different than the emanator? What makes the נאצל different than מעציל? Only the intelligent of receiving. So the נאצל and the מעציל made from the same thing. We might think it's made from different thing. Same exact DNA. Same exact DNA. It's like I'm taking a glass that made from ice, which is water, and I put it in the ocean. Both, H2O, both is water. But one has intelligent of receiving, and one has intelligent of fulfilling or giving. Same thing. So, when something turns into a receiver, we call it ne'etzal, emanated. When something is in the giving mode, is emanator, ma'atzil. Mitami oto mugdar b'min chomer kaze, she'eno matzui b'ma'atzil, af mashu chaz v'shalom. Because in the emanator, in the ma'atzil, there is no receiving at all. There is no such a concept as receiving in the ma'atzil. כי הרצון לקבל אינו נוהג חז ושלום במעציל בהחלט, because the desire to receive cannot be exist within the מעציל, cannot be exist with the emanator. There is no desire to receive them. Of course, the question, the axiom, how can something come from something that's not there, if they have the same DNA? So the answer later we see is called יש מאין. Something from nothing. It's an axiom. It's a difficult thing for the brain. Something came from nothing. So what was the nothing? Ma'atzil, emanator, has no desire there. But the emanator has no desire, creates something called a desire. So now you know that within us we have two types of desire. You want it because the force want to give it to you. Or you want it because you want it. If you want it because you want it, it's a dark side, it's addiction. If you want it because the ma'atzil want to give it to you, the emanator want to give it to you, it's pure. And you should want more. And that's where you check yourself. So people think a tzaddik is a person who doesn't want anything. It's stupid. Who say that? Tzaddik want more than all of us together. But he want it because he know the light want to give it. So people draw a tzaddik, somebody with a tear in the pants, or poor, and going in the street, and this and that. No. Because it say that the Messiah will come rachuv al chamor lavan. They said that the Messiah will go riding on a white donkey. But it's a word, it's a code. Chamor. Chamor means donkey. But chamor is the same letter as chomer. Chomer is riding on the chomer. Riding. Why does it have to be white? The color of sharing. So I'm only want the chomer. I want everything just because nachat ruach. Just I want to draw it because I know it's there. I don't need it. That's Mashiach. Mashiach is not somebody who comes to save you. It's you. Now what are you going to do if I tell you you are the Messiah? You got a problem. The world depends on you. Now you're not going to wait for anybody. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm telling you that you are the Messiah. That's it. You're supposed to bring the redemption. Oh, Eliyahu, listen, I'm not sure. Everybody waiting for Jesus, for Muhammad, for Buddha, for Moses. Anybody waiting for somebody to show up and give the responsibility for them. No, it's actually you. Every person has the spark of the Messiah, but it needs to be transformation of the desire. The desire has to be transformed. Once the desire is transformed, that's called the Messiah. And I hope it's clear. It's a very, very serious. If we get it, we get it all. Because then we live our life differently. So the whole idea of the mitzvot, okay, the mitzvot, the precept, the Jewish mitzvot, what it's called, the 613 things that we're supposed to do, it's all based on the idea, it's only to prepare your desire to change form. Desire to receive for oneself alone, and to desire to receive for the sake of sharing. I repeat, desire to receive for oneself alone, meaning I want to receive only because I want it, that's come from the dark side, or I want to receive because I want to help the Creator to give me something. So I'm actually doing a favor to the Creator. Look how far it goes. I'm doing a favor. Because what happened if light want to give it? I said, no, I don't want it. What are you going to do? I don't want it. So the light give me an apple. I don't need it. Can you imagine going to Moroccan house and the lady cook for 2 days, right? From matbucha to couscous to thing. And you say, I'm sorry, I ate on the way here. What are you here? 2 days. I go to my mom's house, 2 days. My mom, God send her healing. She just fell on her face, poor man. So what she's talking to me about when she's in the hospital, don't know what to do. Who's going to cook? Enough cooking already. Enough. How much are you going to cook? But that's tradition. So the table has to be full. And now my mom, if you come to my mom's house, she look at you, how you eat. If you don't eat, what's wrong? You say everything is okay. So the pleasure that you have to give to my mom is by eating. So when I receive, even I'm not hungry. So let's say I eat a certain dish, which is a lot. You know, when you move to America, you eat less. When you're there, I don't know how it's going in. You have fish, then you have the soup, and then you have the thing, and then you have the baklava, and then you have, it never end, never end. It's a meal that lasts for 3 hours, never end. So, you count calories if you do, so you look and say, you know, that's, this is like a calorie for a week. So you receive to give a pleasure to your mom. So now your receiving is no longer for you. Is that clear? Your receiving become a receiving to give a pleasure to the giver. What happens if I don't receive? Now I'm giving pain to the giver. So now, every time I'm doing a blessing over the tea, I'm doing a blessing over an apple. I'm doing a blessing over food. Now you know what the blessing is. You got to understand the secret of the blessing, secret of the mitzvot, secret of everything you do. It's only because I have to get into a point that my desire said, I don't want the tea. But I see the divine there. Yeah, I make the tea for you. Okay, let me have it. You understand? So the whole idea of the blessing is not a religious thing. That's what many people think it's a religion. No, it's a transformation from why I want the tea. And that's why it say that some people do blessings so they can eat, and some people eat so they can do the blessing. You understand the difference? Some people do the blessing so they can eat. That's selfish. And some people eat so they can do the blessing. Now, who know who is who? Nobody. You cannot judge people because you never know what's going on in the mind. If you meet Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he was very fat. He was about 350 pounds. Always I'm thinking about that story and I think I would judge him. I would look, the guy was eating all day long. Loaf of bread. 6 loaves of bread. It's a lot. How can you say, and he's supposed to be the most spiritual person of his generation. If you will watch a teacher at that time, that while he's teaching, exactly, look at us. We're laughing because we know we would judge. But he was elevating everything to his eating. He was in that level. So we don't know who we see. We don't know. We might see somebody who's so humble and not eating, and is less than the person who look nothing, just eating. You never know. You never know. Because you don't know what's their drive. You understand? You don't know their drive. If their drive is, okay, I got to eat that so I can elevate it, it's never known. So that's why you can't judge. You can't judge people. Not because it's not nice to judge. Because you really don't know. You really don't know the person you're looking at. You don't know what's their drive. You don't know what's their tikkun. You don't know how many lifetimes they are here. You don't know. So, שהרי ממי יקבל ואבן ועלה לנבר שיש בחומר הזה בדלת בדרגות. Now we're going into the deep level of understanding how the desire was built. The desire was built into four levels. And we're going to go through that many, many times. And eventually, I'm not going to test you, but you want to test yourself, so you need to memorizing everything that has to do with first four level. Okay? One of the things that my teacher test me was always on that four level, to remember that. And I remember the day that I mentioned it very quickly. So, okay, I want you to start teaching that material. And I was afraid. I said, I don't want ready to teach it because big responsibility. So if you know that, you can teach. So eventually, I'm not going to test you, but in one of the classes, I'm going to do question and answer to make sure everybody's in there. So let's start. ועלן נבער שיש בחומר הזה דלת מדרגות. In this physical thing, in this חומר, in this desire, has four levels. מקטלות, מקטנות עד גדלות הקבלה. From little amount to receive to greater amount to receive. שהמדרגה הרביעית שהיא בחינת גדלות הקבלה, the fourth level, which is the strongest desire to receive, המצויה על שלמותה רק באינסוף. A true desire only exists in the endless. Please remember that. A true desire only exists in the endless, which means it doesn't matter how selfish you are, you will never get to even a dust of desire of what exists in the endless. So when you judge yourself, I'm too greedy, I'm too... it's a joke. Our desire is considered a joke compared to the endless. It doesn't matter how greedy the person is. If you meet the most selfish human being, it's not even scratching the dust of how much the light want to give you. מטרם שנברו העולמות, because we're talking here before the universes, before the worlds were created, הנה רק עליה נעשה סוד הצמצום, והתבהר להלן כי נתרוקנה מכל שפע שהיה לה מיחס אינסוף, ונשארה בבחינת חלל פנוי, וזוהי כוונת הרב ואומרו, מטרם שנברא העולם דהיינו באינסוף ברוך הוא, לא הייתה שם בחינת חלל הפנוי הזה קבוע. We know that something that took a place called צמצום. צמצום in Hebrew mean contraction, צמצם, contraction, restriction if you want, but contraction. And the Tzimtzum, what happened in the Tzimtzum? The Tzimtzum allow things to be created. You cannot create things where there is fulfillment. Even in your life, you cannot create things when everything is perfect. When you give a perfect life to somebody, you kill them. You want to kill someone? Give them perfect life. What can they add to their life? Zero. There's so many people who have perfect life or grew up in a perfect way, most probably will never make it. Because they can't create anything. You took away from them their wings. You took away from them the chance. You can call it bread of shame. You can call it Naim Adachsifa. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But a perfect life means you've been damaged. In some study that by the Kotzke Rebbe write that the way that you know you've been punished is if you have a perfect life. Where do we study it from? From the snake. It's written, the Kotzke Rebbe was one of the greatest Kabbalists, tough Kabbalist, right, that what was the punishment of the snake? Punishment of the snake, if you read in Bereshit, in Genesis, it says, Afar tochal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dirt all your life. So the Kotzke Rebbe raised a question, say, dirt all your life? Dirt is everywhere. What kind of punishment is that? So the Kotzke Rebbe explained, God tell the snake, I will give you whatever you need, as much as you need, so you will never need to knock on my door. So when you have some lack in your life, lack of money, lack of friendship, lack of something, lack of direction, that's a great thing. Why is it great things? Now you can build yourself. Don't hate the area of your life that don't work, because that exact area where is awakening to create yourself. Because many people try to remove, just, I don't want to have something that I don't have. No, they're in the I don't have. How many people I met in my life, they travel in private jet, as they get a private jet, the Lamborghini wait for them, and everything is just perfect, right? Dating the best man, dating the best woman, everything is perfect. They just make phone call and they got it. I'm telling you, they cannot find one thing. It's called happiness. But why? And they look good, and they're smart, and they finish good school, perfect health, family is healthy. No, nothing is missing. The aspect of happiness is missing. And they cannot explain to me why. If I travel with them in the private jet, I sit next to them, and I say, why are you so miserable? Why are you crying? We're landing, you have the best car.
You have your girlfriend who loves you waiting for you. She's gorgeous. You have a good job. Everything perfect. What's wrong? And they say, I don't know. I'm lonely. I have all the friends in the world. I'm lonely. I'm miserable. They couldn't have the lack. They couldn't have the emptiness, the true debt to create. So the Tzimtzum is a gift that the Creator did to create Tzimtzum. What is Tzimtzum? Try to imagine that I close my eyes now. When I close my eyes, the light does not exist for me. I'm in dark, but the light's still around me. But within that bubble that I'm going to live in, I'm going to create something. You can only create things within the darkness. You cannot turn on the light when there is light. That's what many parents sometimes doing to their kids. They're giving them too much. And the poor kids cannot create anything. Why? Because the kids say, I can never be like my father or mother. So the kids, the poor kids, take a little candle in front of the sun. What's the value of that candle? Zero value. But if you take the kids into a dark room and you light that little candle, now there is a value. So the divine, the creator, give us a gift. He make the tzimtzum. He make the contraction. He make the contraction for us. Now, is the contraction relate to the divine? No, it's never happened. Try to be with me. From the light point of view, it never happened. But it's an illusion that's been created for us to live in a world, what do we call this world in Hebrew? Olam. Olam. O-L-A-M. I'm going to get bored soon, so I can stop writing. Soon it's coming. The podium coming. Everything is coming. Olam from the Shoresh Ne'elam. Meaning the light is disappeared from this world. So it's giving you to create whatever you want to create. If it will be everything here, that will be the worst thing that can happen to a human being. So when you get to a place, I don't know if you ever had tough life. If you didn't, I'm sorry for you. But if you did, feel good for you, you know, if you went through some problem in your life, health problem, relationship problem, money problem, those are the three major ones. Those three things build you up. If you didn't go through those three problems, you don't know how to build yourself up. You have one area that is blocked. Those three areas, relationship, money, and health, it's the three areas that you build yourself, but you have to go through a problem to build it. If you didn't go through that problem, for example, there's some people born beautiful, perfectly beautiful, good looking. If you ask them, what's wrong with you? Say, I can never earn dating because people want to date them, men and women, for the look. So they don't know how to earn dating. It's come, you know. It's kind of, I know it sounds crazy to you, but I'm telling you. Many years ago, I teach in New York in a model agency. One of the jobs I had to do is to remove the models from being depressed. They're famous, they're beautiful. One of them lives in LA, his good friend, 20 years ago. And they were unfortunately shooting drugs because they felt depressed. They had all the money in the world. They have everything they want, they have, but couldn't be happy. The beauty didn't serve them well. So whatever fulfillment you have in your life, be careful. Whatever lack you have in your life, celebrate it. Because there you create yourself. You don't create yourself in the area of fulfillment. You only create yourself in the area of lack. So let's say, I'm taking me as an example again. I'm creating a change in my life now. Those of you, most of you know me. So I'm getting a change. There's part of it exciting. Part of it is tough. That's change is tough. But it's exciting for me. It's a boat. But the tough part about it is where I create myself. I find myself writing books all of a sudden. I become creative. I wrote a children's book all of a sudden. Me, children book? And I'm in love with this. In love with it. You have no idea. Like a kid. Where does it come from? From a place of lack. From a place of something happened to you. And it come out. So don't be upset with the area of your life that's not working, because there, that's the real you is waiting for you. And a place of fulfillment can add anything. What are you going to add? What are you going to add? Nothing. It's like I'm buying you a puzzle and I fix it for you too. What are you going to do? You look at me fixing the puzzle for you. What kind of joy is that? You want to struggle with the puzzle. You want to do mistake. So the Tzimtzum
that took a place after the endless create halal. Halal means empty space. Within the empty space is the creation of the illusion. Confused? Illusion of this world. Which means, now listen to that. Let's confuse even more. When there is more existent, there is more illusion. Now that's tough, huh? Less existent, less illusion. Is it find you well, or I lost a few soldiers? If it exists, right? If it exists, it's because there is illusion. That's what exists only within the halal, within the space, empty space. But within the endless, where there is no empty spaces, everything is one. You don't see watch, phone, and tea. What do you see? Nothing. It's one. And that's why when people said, I'm worried I have ego. I said, thank God you have ego. What do you mean? You are living in an illusionary universe. You've been created part of the image of the creator. You must have ego. You need to work on that, but you can never get rid of it. Never. Never, ever get rid of the ego. And whoever tell you there is an answer for ego, never follow a human being like that. Run away. Run away. There's no solution for that. There is working on it, but no solution. That's one time the Baal Shem Tov, the holy Baal Shem Tov, who will be the successor? Who will be the one who take your place? Say, I don't know, but I can tell you who shouldn't be my successor. So, okay. Say, the one who tell you there is a solution for ego should never be my successor. There is no solution for that. And what was his last word before he died? God, please help me in the upper world to work on my ego. What was the last word of Rabbi Isaac Luria? Same exact verse. They knew that there is no solution. Because the uniqueness of a human being, what makes you unique, that's what makes you exist. Nobody can take that away from you. This is who you are. Once you lose the uniqueness and you lose your ego, you become part of the endless. But if you become part of the endless, you're no longer here. So the reason you are here is because you're unique. If you not have ego, you merge into the universe. You're no longer part of you. It's part of it. It's part of everything. So the ego is the drive that it's a punishing. You know, ego is what killed us. But ego is also what make you exist. You know, it's a paradox. It's called the tree of knowledge, good and bad. Now you know what the tree of knowledge, good and bad mean. But the snake seduces us to eat. It seduces us to eat from that ego thing. It's confusing. Because without ego, you're gone. With ego, you're dead. So what kind of life is this? That's why it's tough. That's why it's tough. It's so tough. So tough. If you have ego, you're selfish. If you don't have ego, you're dead. And you're supposed to stay alive. So all day long, I can't do it. And that's why the God gave Moses. Moses gave to the Chachamim in the Talmud, and then the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. They gave something called mitzvot, precept. But unfortunately, after so many years of Jewish culture, they turned it into religion. But the mitzvot is divided to two types. You have the mitzvot of what we call aseh velot aseh, negative and positive. Those specific mitzvot has nothing to do with the doing them. It has to do with the tree of knowledge, good and bad. It has to do with which side you're connecting to. So don't kill. Or go do chesed, or go do help, or love people. After racha kamocha is to do. Love the neighbor as yourself is to do. And don't kill is the don't do. Two of those precepts, mitzvot, is connected to the tree of knowledge, good and bad. So through that, you get the purification of that area of your ego. So the mitzvot was meant to do that. But with the years, when people start losing the spiritual aspect of the mitzvot, and they saw that everybody not following that, around 500 years ago, they start making it into a religion, just do it and shut up. Because nobody want to study. So what they did, they just say, just do it. Which is a good idea for them. But because Kabbalah and spirituality has been revealed nowadays, we need to let people know. It's not just religion. There's a technology to actually purification of yourself. It's not just do it because you do it. It's an amazing thing if you just do it right. Just do it right. And that halal, that empty space, was not exist within the endless. The tzimtzum was not exist within the endless. It only was created later on. Now, Well, maybe I leave time for question, a little bit like 5 minutes question. And then I add one more point and we take it from there. Do you want to ask some question or you don't even know what to ask? That's how I know what I did tonight. My teacher is telling me if nobody asks question, either you're a genius, either nobody understands what you're talking about. So let's see. You want to ask? Please. Speak loud so maybe we can get it on the picture, on the camera.
I clearly understand about what desires is about.
I can hear you. What?
I clearly understand what two desires is about. I have had a long, long time desire, but in this time, I don't have enough time.
Enough time for what?
To fulfill the desire. Receive the desire.
Why is time related to it?
Because of physical things.
Physical?
Physical things, not spiritual things, connected to physical things.
I'm not sure I'm getting you.
Okay.
If somebody want to help, please don't be shy to help me.
Help.
To understand.
Health is related to aging.
Oh, you mean because we don't have enough time to do what? To fix it? To fix it? Okay, so that's when you relate to you. From the divine point of view, from the light point of view, can that happen in the next hour?
Yeah, because this desire comes from a dark side, or God wants to give it to me, and I'm waiting for time, but it's still, how long I've been waiting for this, to receive my desire, and I'm not getting it.
Okay, I see where you come from, but I think that I want to make it clear that it's got to be more the divine come first. It has to come in your mind. The divine come before you. So let's say if you have asserted in the divine and whatever you do wrong, you do right, you don't have the time, you do have the time, and the divine decide to change your movie in the next 5 minutes. Is it matter what you think?
Yes, it's a lot.
No, I'm asking you a question with the answer, obvious answer. The obvious answer is it doesn't matter what you do.
Yes. I really want to have a partner, a life partner.
Okay.
It's not necessary for the soulmate or something stuff, financial stuff, but I need a partner, but it's amazing. I can study alone. It's okay. It finished my life in this time, but if it's have a partner, it's more much happy to share it.
Okay.
Okay. I get the fear and the anxiety.
Okay. The fear is only when we become the boss, we have a lot of fear. But when we allow another force to become the boss, the fear go away. That's the advice I can give you. Fear only come when I'm the boss. Fear disappear when I'm losing the job of the boss and I give somebody else the reins. And there is no fear, you know? Think about it. Just think. You want to ask something?
I confused myself in even how to ask it.
Okay, so you want to wait on that?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Can you go through the four phases?
No, I didn't do four phases yet. I didn't do four phases yet. I will do it hopefully next week. Yes. One of you. It doesn't matter. Yes. Louder, please, so I can hear you.
There's such a thing as the wrong and the right desire.
Where? Where the wrong and the right side? You mean the
desire?
Yeah, desire again. I want to repeat. There is desire that comes because you want, and there is desire because you want things because you know the force want to give it to you.
So you mean when I decide because I want it?
Let's say you want to eat bread tomorrow morning. You don't want the bread, but you know that the light want to give it to you. Now you have to want the bread so the light can give it to you. You're doing a favor to the light by eating. Or you're eating because you're hungry. If you're eating because you're hungry, It's great, connect to gluttony, connect to that greed. But if I'm eating because I know, okay, the light want to give, it's embarrassing to embarrass. Okay, let me have it. Okay? So you go next to a store. You see a beautiful watch. You want to buy it. Wait. Because that means the watch buying you. You're not buying the watch. Now, if you wait and I say, you know what? The store manager tried to make some money. You need to make a living this month. He couldn't. Okay, let me buy the watch now. Different consciousness. But you have to go away from the immediate desire. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, there is a story. It's a very famous story. It's a Hasidic story about a groom and a bride getting married. And they're getting married, and the groom is kind of young. And it happened in Poland. And after everybody leave, he go to knock on the doors of the rabbi that married him. And the rabbi happened to be a cop. He said, "Rabbi, do me a favor. I need to know the consciousness of making love. You know, never did it before. So what do you think about the night of the wedding? What exactly you thinking?" So the cop is, you know, holding that pipe. You know, he lighted. Say, it's very easy. So really, what's the consciousness? All what you have to do the entire time when you are together, just to say to the divine, "I don't want to enjoy at all that action. Nothing." So the poor groom, 2 hours later, come knock on that rabbi doors again. So why you are here? You're supposed to be with your wife. I don't know how to do it. Once I desire it, I remember what you told me. Once I don't desire it, I can't do it. So say, "Oh, my son," he looked at him and said, "Yeah, now you got, this is where the light revealed. It's the game, it's the dance. It's the dance between pushing it, wanting it, pushing it, want, it's a very difficult. But that's the beauty about creation. That's the beauty." Yes, somebody in the back. Yes. Yeah, you can ask anybody, but loud so I can hear you. Survival, in a survival mode. Okay, so the question will be asked, what happens if your dreams end and you start to being in a survival mode? You just have to survive, you know, survive like for bread, lelechem, vele, chayut.
Life becomes survival and not what you will, what you want, what you wish. It's just survival.
Survival, okay, survival. From a mental point of view, it can be recognized as what they call in psychology something like silent depression. That's what they call it. But from a spiritual point of view, when a person is in a survival, there's a force within them that they're not allowed to want. It's been suppressed. The desire has been suppressed. They have to awaken it. We have to awaken the desire again to start wanting, more. So you, let's say if you want two, you develop within you a desire for five. Even if you don't want it, develop it. You understand? You push yourself to want more. You push yourself to do more and want more. You cannot stay in a survival mode because that's considered death. That's because you're dead. Between when a baby is born, the way they check him, right, is holding the finger hard. That's a healthy baby. When we bury a person, we usually open his hand. Nobody should ever do that. You go to the cemetery and you open the hand to show there's no more desire. So the desire go down mean death. Desire go up mean life. But again, what type of desire? So survival mode, we gotta check ourselves because it's seem humble, but it's misleading. Because
I'm not talking about humbleness or not. I'm talking about life. Like a person have many, many dreams. Some he achieved, mostly with a lot of them he didn't. And now he doesn't have the list anymore. And he's going through his life, okay, this is what I need.
No, it's not good. You need to create. No, Chaz v'Shalom. It's very dangerous. No, no good. That's a sign of depression, by, as I say, by psychology, it's a sign of depression. By spiritually, that's the sign of diminishing my life. The opposite, I have to want more. If you look at the Chachamim, the sages from the Talmud, from the Zohar, every year they want more. And they say that age makes the memory of people go down. Like you see, it's the study. But if you look at the Chachamim from the Talmud and the Zohar, actually their memory become better. Why? Because at the age, they want more. They want more. You take Hillel HaZaken, Hillel the old man. How did they discover him? They discovered him on the roof in Jerusalem when it was snowing. Shmaya Naftalion, great Kabbalist, was study, and the light couldn't come in from the roof. They said, there is a shape of a human being. So they went upstairs and saw this guy, Hillel. He couldn't pay for the study. It was a study, and he didn't have money. So what he did is he listened. So they said, this guy has so much desire. We have to teach him. So they put him next to the fireplace, and they warm him up, and then he becomes a student. So the desire should never diminish. Invented new desire. You have to reinvent yourself. Redesire thing. Okay? I love when, if I feel my desire go down, I usually like to hang around selfish people, like to learn from them. It's not a joke. I start looking. I said, how do you want more? Like there is people, for example, there is people who can party, for example, 5 times a week. I don't get it. How can the body do it? How can you do 5 nights a week? Your brain can lose it. But there is people that their desire for party is huge. But for desire for something else, it's not. So you got to look, be around people who want more. Be careful for people who want less. Be careful. Just stay away. People who want less money, less love, less this, less that, it's come across as a picture of humbleness. But it's actually closer to death than we believe. So never allow yourself to go to a survival. Once you start there, make a new list of things that you want. Reinvent yourself. Do sport that you never did before. Do something that you never did before. Reinvent yourself. Go back to the young energy within you. Because the young energy is desire. Old energy, no desire. See? Between, you play with it, okay? I hope it's clear. Somebody want to ask here? Amir?
I was wondering when you were talking about ego.
Yeah.
In this olam.
Yeah, olam hazeh, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's say what you call somebody who's humble or shaflut, or is that the purification of that ego, the desire to see for oneself alone?
The ego...
Or humility.
No, we need to work on the ego. I'm not saying not to work, but...
But you say, okay, I want to go and see the a guy that's...
I said to work on the ego is a must, but to be able to defeat the ego is impossible. To defeat the ego, impossible. Because you're going to get ego for working on the ego. You're going to get ego for defeating the ego. It's never going to end. You know? It's like people used to say, you know, that joke, the funny one, how does it go? I used to have ego, now thank God I'm perfect. You know? It never ends. It never ends. It's a trick. It's a trick of the dogs. It's a beautiful trick. But we need to get excited about it. So when you discover you have ego, Baruch Hashem, you don't have ego. Thank God. I exist.
But how much of the ego and for what purpose? That's important.
Exactly. As my teacher, always my teacher used to help me in the first year of becoming a rabbi, becoming a teacher. He used to tell me, Eliyahu, it's okay to have ego. Just find justification for that. You understand? It's a very beautiful, very beautiful. It tricked me very well. Which means, he's telling me, listen, if you save already 1 million people, that's okay to have a little ego for that. But did you save 1 million people? No. So what happened? He increased my desire to save 1 million people, and now the challenge worked. Did you save 7 million people? I remember one time, it was an event, and
we're talking about desire mostly, not the ego. We got to like build that, not the ego. It's all the desire.
No, but you're developing an ego. You're developing the ego for doing things. So instead of having ego, want more, so your ego will diminish. The only way you can diminish ego, you want more from life. Once you stop wanting a lot from life, your ego has been developed. So when people tell me, I don't want too much from life, I know they are egomaniac. It's funny. I go the opposite. When people said, I want this, I want this, I want that, I'm not worried about them. Because life is diminished. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato write in the part of the just. And he say, who have more ego, a beggar or a businessman? He say, a beggar. And now it bothered me for a long time. How can that be? It should be a businessman. Chutzpah, driving a car and serving. And the beggar sleeping under the bridge. How can that have ego? See, the beggar only... The only ego he breaks is by putting his hand out and people give him coin. The businessmen get beat up every day, humiliated, rejected, tried to be afraid, nothing worked. It get beat up so bad. So the Ramchal, the holy Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, you have to remember that name, he was from Italy. He write that true business, when you person need to work, need to find a job. I know that many people, spiritual people say job is very important. Because in your work, your ego get diminished. While you work and while you go into this thing, you negotiate for the price. It's very tough. But wanting more, make you small. Wanting less, make you big. You think of yourself big. But so if let's say you made $5 million and you say, how come I don't have 50? What happened to you? Now you are minus $45 million on your ego. I'm just using number to explain it. So more you want, it crushes your ego. Understand? So let's say I want to help 7 billion people. So what did I help? 100 people. Well, how can I have ego for that? Come on, I'm so far from my goal. So that's a beauty. So always want more. Always train the people around you to want more. Okay? Always train people around you to want more. It's healthy and it's spiritual. Unfortunately, religion for thousands of years teach people to want less. And that was the sad part. Want less. And want less make you humble in the name of God, make you nice, make you wonderful. He's so nice. He doesn't want that much. He drives a Vespa instead of Rolls Royce. What a nice boy. His pants is 20 years old. What a nice boy. Now, he knows that his pants is 20 years old. He knows that he drives a Vespa, so he has an ego for that. His ego is being humble. You understand? So more desire, make you, hey, I want, so it's tzaddik. Righteous person is a person who wants everything. Not little, everything. But they don't want just the $7 billion. They don't want just $100 billion. They want immortality. Yes, live forever. Now that's a desire, my friend. Mm-hmm. Not money, live forever. How is that for a desire? Now, how many of us even think about it? We just think, a little relationship, you know. Diet, food, not getting sick, please God. And God look at that. What is this? Is this a desire? Is it a joke? I want to give them immortality. They ask for money. So one second. So the idea of desire in our brain is way far from what the endless one gives us.